Matthew chapter 28. This morning, I'm going to preach on the resurrection, okay? And you ought to have your Bible marked, and I hope this is a help to you. Matthew chapter 28. Let's read verses 17 to 20. I'll read verse 17. You read verse 18 with me, and we'll follow down to the end of the chapter there. Matthew 28 and verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again, Lord, to serve a living God that hears us when we pray, Lord, that wants to save us when we call on your name. Thank you for salvation, your precious blood that you shed, that you applied. Lord, I pray that please you'd help us this morning as we rejoice in your resurrection, as your victory over death. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, help us to love you more because of what we learn. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we read verses 17 to 20, but one more verse I want to add is look at verse 9. Verse 9 is, I've never heard anybody preach on it, but it's something that needs to be said. Look at verse 9, Matthew 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. Isn't that awesome? Can you just picture Jesus saying, Everybody worship. All hail the King. Now he's risen from the dead, victor over death, the only one that's ever done it. All hail. And watch, it says, And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. What a verse. What a verse in your Bible. Last week, we tried to focus on seeing Jesus crucified. And as we look at the resurrection this morning, we want to realize we have a Savior that is now glorified. He has overcome death. He's overcome the grave. And so when you look down there at verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. However you want to interpret that word power, it means authority. It means power. That's why it's there. All power is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He displayed it when he rose from the dead, and he said, It's been given unto me. That's why we all hail. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus showed us through sweat drops of blood the weakness of the manhood of our mediator. But in this truth, in the end of Matthew, we see the strength of the God-man. So you see someone, you see his humanity when he's praying, Father, please, he knows what's coming. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but not what thou wilt. And you see him taking the stress and then the sweat drops of blood. And then here you see him victor over the grave, the God-man. Amen. The God-man, the Lord Jesus. As our mediator, he wasn't speaking as a sufferer, but he was speaking as a reigning king who had won the victory. Our Savior received this power because he endured such weakness. God the Father gave Jesus Christ all power because of his obedience. Take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 2. All power is given to Jesus because he was all obedient. He was all God, but how did he display that in his humility and what he showed us? Look at Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, Philippians chapter 2. We'll just take a small journey this morning. Part of my frustrations as a pastor is, you know, you got all these movies, you know, and, you know, in America, so many people know, yeah, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and yeah, Jesus rose again from the dead, and, you know, whether you're Catholic or whether you're whatever brand of Christianity, yeah, you know about Jesus, but so few are saved. Okay, so you know Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You know he was buried and rose again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody knows that. That tells me the reason you knowing Jesus died for your sins, for the sins of the whole world, does not save you. When you realize Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the dead for you, that's when you place your faith in him. But to know Jesus died for the sins of the whole world on a cross, yeah, pretty common knowledge. You can know that and go to hell. Okay? So look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Ready? It says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, what's so big about that? To this day, in world history, the most excruciating, painful way you can die is by being put on a cross, nails, not hung with rope, but by being nailed to a cross. It is to this day the most painful death a human can die. Jesus was on there, I told you last week, for 6 hours because he had been scourged before. His whole body was hamburger. But a normal person that was not scourged did what? They hung on the cross, Roman legend and all that, all the history, it was between 2 and 3 days. Then you finally just get so tired that you suffocate. You can't pull yourself up to breathe anymore. But Jesus was on the cross 6 hours. Okay? So he humbled himself to obedience of death, the most painful death any man has ever died. Okay? Nobody in history was scourged and then crucified. That's why we say no one suffered like Jesus suffered. I was talking to a police officer 2 years ago, and somebody said, would you witness to my brother? And I said, sure. And I came to the door, and I said, well, you know, Jesus suffered for us. Oh, I'm good enough. I said, you're good enough to get to heaven? I said, what you've been through is equal to the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross? Well, before I could say, there's no way. He said, oh, I've suffered so much as a police officer. You don't know what I've been through. And I said, what am I going to say? I'll get to heaven my own way. And I said, have a good day. I didn't know what to tell him other than you're wrong. You will do nothing in your lifetime that compares to what Jesus did on the cross for you. You will suffer nothing like he suffered on the cross. Obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God, because of that, also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what says every knee? That means you're not going to take a knee. You're going to bow both knees. Every knee, amen. Take a knee, take a knee, nothing. You're going to drop, and you're going to confess, what? That Jesus is Lord. And when it says every knee, I can't help but read, that means I can't wait to watch the devil do that. Right before he's cast into the lake of fire, I want to see, at the name of Jesus, I see it all being pronounced, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I see Satan going, no. Boom, dropping and then confessing with his own mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. And right before he's cast into the lake of fire, I think all of us are going to go, make him do it again. In slow motion. Wouldn't that be awesome? But even the devil is going to say it. He's going to drop and confess Jesus is Lord. I like that. This is another way of saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is omnipotent or all-powerful. It would be easier to describe infinity or a map of the universe. But if you could describe the all-powerfulness of God, it would be the power of self-existence. How do you exist with no help from anything else? That's our God. That's the Lord Jesus. It would be the power to create, not make. Create. Create means to create something out of nothing, and God's the only one that can do that. Man makes a lot of things. He can forge steel. He can make potions and things in the science lab, but he can't create anything from nothing. The power of creation, the power to design and the power to destroy, the power to open and the power to shut, the power to forgive, the power to prophesy and declare and fulfill what was said. All power, the hands that were once fastened to the cross, that the cross of the wood that God created, those hands now hold all power, and the heart which was pierced with a spear now has all power. The crown that was surrounded with thorns now has all power. He has all power because he's God Almighty, and if God wanted to, he could fold up this creation because it is so sin-cursed. Let the elements pass away and shrivel like a scroll. And if he wanted to, he could speak another universe into existence. And he's going to one day. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. He's going to speak this one out of existence and speak a new heaven and new universe into existence. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. Matthew chapter 28, we read, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This morning, Jesus is Lord of all. He holds the reins of all natural powers and the harness, and he harnesses the power of the wind, because by him, beautiful statement in your King James Bible, by him all things consist, by him all things hold together, because he's all powerful. The power of our risen Savior includes all the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the resurrection. Listen to these verses. Romans 8:13. If we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Holy Ghost power is what changes us. That's what the resurrection means to me. That same power that rose Jesus from the grave, from the dead, is the same power that works in you if you let it. That's how come a drug addict can have a clean life after they get saved. All drug addicts don't have a clean life after they get saved. But if they'll let that resurrection power help them, it changes them. To me, what has changed my life since I've been a Christian is when I let God work. God doesn't want to come into your life. You've heard me say this before. God wants you to place your faith in him. Well, I want Jesus to come into my life. He doesn't want a part of your drugs. He doesn't want a part of your alcohol. He doesn't want a part of your partying. He doesn't want a part of your life. He wants you to place your faith in him, and he wants to change your life. But the average is, well, this is me. Just accept it. Okay, great. Aren't you glad you can get saved by placing your faith in Christ? But your life changes when you submit to him who has all power. And then the change can begin. How about this? 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, as beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is what convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit of God is what leads us to the Savior. It's what rebirths our spirit. It's what places us in the New Testament Baptist Church, and it's what causes us to grow and become fruitful. Take your Bible now and go to Romans chapter 8. I'd like you to leave church with thinking, I serve an all-powerful, resurrected Savior. He's a living God. He's the only one that's overcome death. I guess that's still, you've heard me say, my frustration when you witness to people, there's not three resurrected gods to choose from. There's only one that overcome death in the grave. What do you mean you got to think about it? You got to study more YouTube or more internet. What do you mean? There's only one, and he's God Almighty, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8, ready? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I wish you'd mark verse 11 and think about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, watch, shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. When somebody says, well, you know, Jesus is for my spiritual life, Jesus is for your physical life. and your body's habits. Before I got saved, I had bad habits. Bad habits that needed to change. The only way that changed, he changed my mortal body. I had bad patterns of thinking, but he can change your mortal body. That's why when somebody says, my life's a wreck, my thinking, the way I handle my family, the way I handle my relationships, my job, money, everything, then Jesus can change your mortal body if you'll submit to his power. He wants to give you new habits. He wants to give you a new thought process. But you have to realize you've been lied to. Look, let me give you just one instance. I like what one person said. You cannot run your finances the way Washington does. You will go to jail. Well, they don't. They never go to jail. Has anybody noticed that? Nobody in Washington goes to jail. Well, when I got saved, I had to realize there was some I thought wrong. I had bad habits. And those don't change because you get saved. Those change because you say, I'm messed up. My head's messed up. My life is messed up. And you know, isn't it amazing? The people who get changed the most are those who are willing to admit their life is the biggest mess. How come those who fall sometimes bounce higher than those who never do? Humility. He can change your mortal body. He can change your habits, your thinking. I just love this. This encourages me. I love this verse. All power is given to the Lord Jesus. When you yield to the Holy Spirit of God and let him guide you, the power of the resurrection is what works in your life. Philippians chapter 3, and we don't have time to go to it this morning. You're in Romans. Just listen to me. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to be saved. That's how you get saved, is you ask Jesus to save you. You place your faith in the blood he shed for you on the cross. But it shouldn't stop there. You should say, I want to know the power of his resurrection. What was the Apostle Paul saying? He said, I want a changed life. I want God to change me. And what is not Christian, I want God to take out. Kick out the drugs, kick out the alcohol, kick out the sex before marriage, kick out the dirty thinking, kick out the internet, get rid of what is not godly. And there's only one way that happens, when you say, I want that power of the resurrection. I don't want to have a gossipy, critical, negative mouth anymore. Do you know the power it takes to change your mouth?
Oh, it's easy. Oh, it is. Really? Well, do it then.
To get rid of a critical, nasty, negative spirit, that's when you say, dear God, help my filthy mouth. When you submit and humble, then you can know that resurrection power. And God says, I'll give you, if you're willing to die, I'll resurrect your life. Isn't that interesting? Whatever part of your life you're willing to say, this part of my life is messed up. If you're willing to let it die, God says, I'll let you know my resurrection power, and I'll bring it back better in to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's Philippians 3:10. Our text this morning was Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus told us that he had all power in heaven and in earth. Nobody has ever ruled the world in its entirety, just like nobody has ever ruled the winds and the waves. When they say they have power to control the weather now, they have power to manipulate, but nobody can make it rain. Right? Well, we can control wind. No, you don't. You set up things, and we understand nuclear explosions in the atmosphere, and they do all this stuff, and you know, and they get it. But no, you still can't make it rain. Yeah, I understand there's weather manipulation, but God has all power. The mightiest of rulers, like Pharaoh, were overcome with diseases and plagues, like flies and locusts and frogs. Sickness, pain, and death have reminded the proudest princes and rulers of the truth that power belongs to God and God alone. And little men are proved fools every time they boast of any of the little bit of power that God allows them to have. Our Lord has power over men who are both good and bad.
Our Lord raises up preachers who preach His word in power, because all power is given to the Lord Jesus. He can give this power to any of His servants who will surrender to Him. As His children, we're feeble, we're weak, but we can always be strong in the Lord. You say, well, I just can't communicate well. Guess what? Neither could Moses. Most would call stuttering a birth defect. It's where the mind works. So most people who stutter, don't ever underestimate them. Their mind works so fast that their mouth can't keep up. It's not a sign of stupidity. Moses stuttered. You say, well, I can't communicate very well. Did God help Moses? Yes, He did. Moses had to die first. Moses had to finally come to the realization God was his power. You say, well, I'm not very cultured, or I'm not very educated. Look, God used Amos, the herdsman, in the Bible to preach for him. Because all power is given unto him, I want you to think about your weakness this morning. You can learn as a Christian, in your weakness, he's strong if you yield to him for strength. You have no idea what God can do through you if you let him, if you'll surrender to him. The spiritual conditions of the local churches as a whole in our country, I think, may be bad, but it helps us to remember the Lord of hosts or battles is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Degenerate as we are, there stands one among us whom the world cannot see, whose shoes latchet we are not worthy to unloose. He's able to again to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire, because all power is given unto him. Even though there are men who reject God and live in willful rebellion, all power is given unto our Lord over the whole of mankind. This is just amazing to me. He uses ungodly people for his purposes. Only God can do that. The wickedness of Herod and the wickedness of Pilate with the people of Israel shouting, "Crucify him," fulfilled God's determinate counsel to provide us a Savior. Using all of that. That tells me, when I read Acts chapter 4, it speaks of the determinate counsel of God. Take your Bible. You got to see this verse. Look at Psalm 76, verse 10. Psalm 76, verse 10. This morning, we serve a wonderful God, and me and my failures and my shortcomings and all the things in my life I wish I could get victory over, if I'll come in humility and submit myself to God, He'll change me. And the only reason God doesn't do that is because I don't let Him. God doesn't play favorites. God helps whoever humbles themselves and submits. That helps. Because see, what the devil tells you is everybody can have victory except you. You're the Christian retard in the church, right? You can't go forward. Everybody else can but you. And when you come to a realization of this truth, you can say, no, wait a second. God helps everybody that humbles themselves. And if I'm willing to bow and say, God, I'm a failure. I don't have the answers. You're the only one with truth. God helps you when you humble yourself. Why? Because He has all power. Look at Psalm 76, verse 10. What a verse. Surely the wrath of man shall praise him, praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt thou restrain. What a verse. Only God can use the wrath of man to praise him, like what I just told you. Only the Creator Jehovah God, over the most rebellious wills, can make to be served his sacred purposes. The powers of hell and all their hosts with the kings of the earth set themselves and take counsel against the Lord and his anointed. And the whole time their rage is working out God's designs. As distasteful as the Lord is to them, listen, they're still his slaves. To the King of Kings, they are domestic servants of the lowest kind, and those that hate the Lord will eventually flee before him. The wrath of man shall praise thee. Whether it's a sinner wrapped up in idolatry or worshiping a wafer at the hand of a priest who calls himself a Christian, and yet still adores an object made of water and flour, we don't despair this morning, because all power is given unto our risen Savior. as weak and worldly as Christianity is in our society, God can still turn hearts and minds, and God is still in the soul-saving business. Proverbs 21, verse 1, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." I'll stay on topic this morning, but I can't help. The heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. All of the decrees we're hearing that are getting signed, you know, in Washington, you know, now the churches are at stake and the Equality Act, and it just goes on. They're coming after your guns, and I mean all of the stuff that's coming from Washington. It's amazing to me. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Are you praying for those in authority? Are you praying for those? Because all power is given unto him, he has the key of every human heart. Somebody said, what do you do about somebody who won't listen to the gospel? Somebody that is set against God. You pray for him. Look, just because they don't get saved, you don't see God working in their life. But God convicts when we pray. That doesn't mean they're going to submit and get saved. It just means, I always pray this, God, work in their life and show them that it's only you. Lord, let things happen that they can't explain except God. Please, touch their heart. Lord, they're trusting in. Lord, show them how untrue it is. Break it. Pray for them. It doesn't mean they'll get saved, but God works when we pray. No man is beyond the saving power of Jesus Christ. Only the Lord Jesus can take someone who is a leader of sin and save him and make him a pattern of holiness. A man can be in the worst position of sin and standing on the verge of hell, but when Jesus stretches out his pierced hand and he responds to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and calls on the name of the Lord, he can be saved. It's wonderful this morning to be a child of the King. I'm saved by the only one who has ever conquered death. And we are all more than conquerors through him that loved us because of him who has all power. He's coming to reign. Now, I want you to think of our Lord's spiritual power. Jesus could have said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now take your swords and kill all my enemies who crucified me." He could have done that, couldn't he? Can you picture that when he appeared to the disciples? Okay, I'm risen from the dead. Last week was a rough one. Y'all go out and get them. He didn't do that. He didn't do that, did he? Jesus could have said, you know, because these Jews in Jerusalem put me to death, I don't want them to ever taste of my saving grace, so you're allowed to preach anywhere in the world except here. He didn't say that either, did he? He said, beginning what? At Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus didn't withhold his salvation from those who drove the nails and had the kangaroo courts. Jesus didn't do that. The way Jesus subdues all things to himself is not at spear point or gun point. He says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, teach, baptize by immersion, and teach them how to grow in the faith. I know God teaches us you have a scriptural right to bear arms and protect yourself. But Christian, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They're spiritual. The way we fight as a Christian is not physical. I'm all for defending yourself. I'm all for protecting your family. I think every home ought to have a gun. I do. You ought to teach your children safety. I think you have a God-given right to protect yourself against evil people. But we're not going to change Mechanicsville or St. Mary's County at gunpoint. We're not going out Saturday and come with me to church. We don't do that. That's not our weapons. We don't work that way. We pray. We go soul winning. We invite people to church. And you know what? God will use our church in our town, in our county, as we use the weapons of our warfare, soul winning and prayer. Dear God, convict them of their sin. Yet, you know, it still blows my mind to this day, the leading cause of death in St. Mary's County is opioid deaths. The kids that live with their parents, not all of them, praise God,
But the kids that live with their parents are enabled by their parents for the drugs and the horrible lifestyles that are here. Then they don't get jobs because it's a country area. Then they just do drugs and exist until they die and OD in their basement. It's amazing to me. It's sad. It's sad. Purposelessness. The purposelessness of our county, of the young people in our county. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Only he who has all power can work his bidding by a word and then send it forth in love. Jesus never used marketing to reach people. He never used technology and worldly music to keep people coming back to church. The Lord's way of displaying his power was and still is through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I'm for you having a good time when you come to church, but I cannot entertain you when you're here. There's something God has to do in your heart through his Word. I come to church to hear the preaching of the Bible. I come to church to grow in the Lord and be with God's people. But I'm not coming to see how much more entertainment we can do this week than last week. I'm not trying to up it. This morning, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, if you look at Matthew, let's close with Matthew 28. Go back there and we'll close with this. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me now that I'm risen from the dead, notice what his conclusion, well, if all power is given unto you, then what do you want us to do? Look at verse 19. It says here, go ye therefore, because all power is given unto him. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. You know why verse 19 and 20 is there? Because verse 18 says, all power is given unto me. You know what that tells me? Let's close it this morning with this. You enjoying the power of God as a Christian, I think, would start with you trying to witness to people in his power. Because all power is given unto him, go ye therefore and teach. Well, I'm not a teacher. If you have Christ in you and you're a child of God this morning, you and I are commanded to tell others. I wish you could have seen me the first track I handed out. Oh, you're just a natural soul winner, Pastor. You've heard me say that I'm a natural nothing. Shaking when I gave the track. And finally, I had to come to the point where I just realized, dear God, I don't have anything to give. There's nothing about me, my tone of voice. There's no, God, if you don't empower me and help me, I am a failure from the start. And God says, I can use you if you'll humble yourself. And isn't it wonderful in the Christian life? Jesus didn't say, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and give up all your sins. I think that comes. But if you and I would stress on soul winning and telling people about the Lord, it's amazing what God does in your life when you make getting people out of hell a priority. Why should I go to church? Because people are watching. You have a testimony. Do you want the people that if God uses you to get saved, do you want them to go to church like you? You have a testimony. Well, why should I read the Bible? Because you don't duplicate yourself beyond what you are. Amen? Somebody else can influence them, and they can go higher because of them, but how high can you take somebody to the Lord? Only as high as you are. Only as high. This morning, all power is given unto me. And isn't it amazing? Jesus sums it up. Because I'm all powerful and I have all authority, you go and you tell people about the Lord. Can we just close it this way this morning? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you gave somebody a gospel track? It's got to start somewhere, right? Well, God, you have to humble yourself and let God use you. He's willing. We're the ones that aren't willing. We're the ones that go, it's too much. Christian, break, bend, and submit. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What a wonderful God we serve. Hey, and don't forget, aren't you glad he's patient? All that the Lord puts up with just because of me.
I'm so glad His mercies are new every morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this truth. Please help us, Lord, as Your children. I pray that You'd bless these people. Thank You. We serve a risen God. Lord, You're willing.